Helena sent her greetings from France. She was taking a leaders, or not a leaders, a women's event yesterday. And she had three or four sessions, and they went very, very well. Obviously, when you speak to a group of women, from a man's point of view, that's a challenge. From Helena's point of view, it was good report that went on with a lot of ladies really being blessed, but actually set free. Because sometimes things happen in the world, in our environment, that can be quite challenging at times. And sometimes what happens is that we bury every situation, everything. And, you know, what God wants to do is bring some of these things to the surface so that he can bring freedom. And God truly wants freedom in all of our areas of our lives. And, you know, that's what happened yesterday in so many people's lives. So we praise God for that. She's ministering in the church this morning. And there's several hundred people in that church. So, it's a significant thing, partly because they very rarely have a lady speaking. I think Amy was there for 18 months, and I think they only had one lady speak from the platform. So just having those things that taking place, we know that she's anointed, and so we pray that God will really bless her. She's also speaking at St. Mildred's, isn't she, on Saturday morning at a women's event there. So God's blessing in amazing ways. I thought Nathan's word last week was excellent, amazing, and we thank God for that. And to be honest, I'm probably going to use some of the same scriptures that he used. But I just want to remind us again that when we've had the PowerPoint, I've put one slate up every single week that I've preached for the last couple of times. Because I really want us to get to grips with what we believe the church needs to be in London. And there's some key things that, you know, I'm not going to discuss it, but at the end of the day, I want us to get this. Jesus sees his church as people in a living personal relationship with him, number one. We're not going to go anywhere as a church if God isn't first in our lives, in our situations. But also scripture says that if we don't have then that relationship with one another, then that's meaningless. In 1 John, it's very, very clear that love for God needs to then be outworked with love for one another. So Jesus Christ sees his church as a people living in personal relationship with him and with one another. But then it just doesn't stay there, because it's then to be equipped to fulfill his purpose for each and every individual that is part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So loving for God, loving one another, but then it goes on to be equipped for fulfilling the purpose that he created you for to be fulfilled on this earth. Every believer is to be fruitful in fulfilling his or her part in that purpose. And by doing so, we'll bring glory to the Father. I really think that paragraph sums up what I want our church to be. A people who are passionate for God. And one of those things that we continually say and do here is we want you to be people of the Word. We want you to be reading the Word every day, so that we and you get fresh revelation. I get fresh revelation, so that when we come together, God can really have an impact in our lives. But you know, from that relationship with him, that dynamic relationship with him, that we have a passion for one another. You know, we have sometimes people who are lonely who come to this church. And, you know, we need to always bear in mind that, you know, sometimes people wear masks. And even in a church, oh, you can come in and smiling, isn't God wonderful, isn't God great? But there could be all sorts of different situations going on in your world, where you live, your home, in your situations or circumstances. And actually, at the end of the day, you don't tell anybody about it, and because you don't tell anybody about it, actually we don't know. We haven't got a crystal ball. But we want to have a relationship in this place where we are free to talk to one another. Hey, you know, I've had a real issue with my gas boiler this week. You know, real issues. But then we can go into a greater depth and understand what God is wanting to say and do. And say, wow, there's a purpose. You've got a purpose. God has a destiny for your life. That destiny for your life, wow, we want to see fruitfulness from it. And that's where we are all coming in, all doing those same things. So I'm going to read that again, because I just want us to get it. Jesus sees his church as people in a living, dynamic, personal relationship with him and with one another, equipped to fulfill his purpose for each and every one of us. Every believer is to be fruitful in fulfilling his or her part in that purpose, and by so doing will bring glory to him, the Father. I think that's great. I do. I love that statement. Anyway, going on to Colossians. I'm going to read Colossians, a chapter from Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. For Paul, by God's will, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from Timothy, my brother in the faith, to the brothers in Colossae who were also in Christ, called to be holy and faithful to the Lord. May God our Father impart his grace and peace to you all. We are always thankful to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we know about your faith in him and the love you have for all the saints, those who God has called and set apart for himself and for his purpose. Each one of you has been set apart for his purposes. For himself and for his purposes. That's what it says. This faith and love are the result of the hope that you have. For you are sure he has a rich reward for you in heaven. The inheritance about which you have heard already through the word of truth. The good news you have received of who Jesus Christ is. And who he has done for you. All he has done for you. And then going on to verse 9. This is why, since we heard of what God is doing among you, we have never stopped praying for you, asking God to make you aware of his will, that he will give you all the spiritual wisdom and understanding you need. The reason why we pray like this is simple. We want you to live lives worthy of the Lord so that you please him in every way possible. For then you will produce much fruit for his glory through all the good works you do as you continue to know him better. He strengthens you with all power of his glorious might, and it is this power at work in you that gives you patience, enables you to persist in doing his will, and causes you to maintain your joy, thanking God the Father for all he has done in you. Yes, it is his work in you that means that you are qualified to share in the inheritance he has prepared for all those he has called and set apart to belong to the kingdom of light. For he has already rescued us from the devil's dominion of darkness and has brought us into his own kingdom, the kingdom that belongs to the Son he loves. It is through him that we have been made worthy in God's sight, through the forgiveness of all our sins, so that now we belong to him. Father, I just ask you that you will take the word of God and make it real to each and every one of us. Father, Lord, we want to be a people who serve your purposes. We want to be a people, Father, Lord, who, oh Lord, do not divert from the left or right, but Father, take ways that are affirmed. We want to be a people, Father, who love you with a passion. We want to be a people who stand in awe of who you are. Father, and word that you are the Creator God. You are the Almighty God. And Father, as we stand before you, we stand before a king in majesty. And Father, I just ask you that we will understand how great and magnificent you are. And Lord, I just pray, Father, Lord, that from that place, Father, Lord, that that will then earth the relationships that we have here on this earth. Father, that there will be genuine love between us, real love, that people will see it will be tangible. Father, it won't just be words, but Father, there will be a reality. Oh, Lord, of this love working out in practical ways. Father, I thank you that you are wanting a group of people here, a part of your body, Father, Lord, that understands that they are free. As children of God, they are free. Oh, Lord, that they understand that they have a purpose. Father, let each and every one of us has been created by you with a distinctive purpose for us to fulfill here on this earth forever, however long we live. And Lord, within that purpose together, Father, we want to bring glory to your name. Oh God, we just ask you that you will bless us with your presence. You will bless us, Father, with your authority and power. You will bless us with that immense love that you have for each and every one of us, so that that then can be worked out in each and every one of our lives. Oh my God, I pray that you will just come. And Father, it's not just the presence, but we want an encounter with you. Lord, we know that Moses, Father, Lord, said, do not take us from this place unless you go with us. And Father, I just thank you that you gave Moses a glimpse of your back. And Father, Lord, that brought transformation in Moses' life. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us will have an encounter with you. Father, Lord, that will bring change today as a result of hearing something from your heart for each and every one of us. Father, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? It's been quite a week. Did anybody put any money on Clinton not getting the presidency? No, we don't gamble. But it's a very interesting week. And I'm on Facebook. And when you get the comments that come from Facebook, you get quite a lot of negatives that are coming across at this moment in time for the presidential elect in the States. I believe we've got to be very careful of how we respond to those things, whatever your views. And obviously some of the things that have been said, you know, you do not accept what has some of those words that you've heard from his mouth are wrong. And it's not that you have to accept everything that has been said. You have to stand up for truth. But we need to understand that, you know, when you stand up for truth, it's not coming and judging a person, because God is the only person who can judge somebody. Even Jesus said, it's up to the Father to judge. You know, and so therefore he's the judge, and he is going to come at one point in our lives where we are going to have to stand before our judge, and we're going to have to give an account for our lives. Each one of us. I'm sorry, I can't do that on your behalf. But we have somebody called Jesus Christ who will stand at our side when we get to that point. And I believe Jesus says, he's mine. He's mine. He's been covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his life to me, and so I purchased him. And so that person belongs to me now. And so therefore we will have the Bible calls an advocate. That he will stand and say, God, that one's mine. He belongs to me. But there is still something that there is going to be books that are going to be written in our lives. And yes, the sin records that we've confessed will all go. But there will be other things that are in the books about what you've done. Not the sins, but what you have done with the gifts and the talents, the abilities that God's given to you. Because God is wanting to reward you for what you do. And there is a whole scriptures, and there's several scriptures regarding reward. And a lot of Christians actually don't understand that what God wants is for every one of us to, and we've just read it, that God wants us to come into a relationship with him, but then he then, through his Holy Spirit, activates the gifts and the abilities, the fruit that he wants to see in our lives, so that we actually can then action everything that he's asking of us, so that we please him in every way. In every part of our life, we're pleasing him. But as Nathan said last week, it's about knowing God as Father. Understanding his amazing and incredible mercy is the starting point. But from that point of actually knowing God, sometimes for the very first time, sometimes it's about coming back to God because we've drifted away from his best purposes for our lives. And sometimes it's just like, okay, God, you know, because of the tenseness of my eyes have gone into a situation or circumstance, it's just work has been so much, and I've lost sight of you a little bit in this, and actually I've lost my peace. So I need to come back to a place where, God, I just know that I'm right with you again. And there's those type of situations, but God wants us then to understand that there is a place and a purpose that God wants us to fulfill so that we please him in every attitude that we have. And this can be, you know, in our homes, in our businesses, in our workplaces. God wants us to please him in every way possible, as we've just read. That, you know, verse 9, this is why, since we heard of what God is doing among you, we have never stopped praying for you, asking God to make you aware of his will. That's my prayer for you people, all of you, everybody who's going to be part of this church as well. That my prayer for you is that each and every one of you will know why you specifically have been called by God, created by God. Each one of you has a purpose. Every one of you. I believe that because I believe the Bible. But I'm praying that God will give you wisdom and understanding so that you will know what that purpose is. And I want to work with you, each one of you, and we work with one another to work those things through. Sometimes it's a natural gift. Lolly has a natural talent with children. And sometimes we all can see how she just loves children, the way that she interacts with children. It's fantastic. And so therefore, it's a talent that she is using both in her job, but she's then saying, okay, God, here it is, then it's over to you. Do you want to use this gift and this talent so that you can be glorified in the church world as well as my world that she works in? So she's given it over to the Lord, and God is using that talent, but that doesn't mean that suddenly, because what you do in the workplace means that you've got to replicate that in the church. I don't see that necessary, but it sometimes overlaps. Things overlap. There's gifts and talents that God wants us to bring into the church life. You know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're making millions of pounds, then I believe God wants that to be brought into the church. It'd be very nice, wouldn't it? But you understand that it's sometimes there is abilities and gifts that God gives, and it dovetails into your purpose. But according to scripture, when Paul prayed for the church in Colossae, he says, please, Lord, this was a prayer. We want to make sure that we are praying so that you guys get spiritual wisdom, understanding of what your purpose is. Your purpose, so that together we're fulfilling his purposes. The reason why we pray like this is simple. We want you to live lives worthy of the Lord, so that you please him in every way possible. Again, scripture. If you read that over and over again, Father, do I please you in every way? This has got to be real. This is not just something that we read about and it's just like, okay, that, Lord, I want to please you in every way. What God wants us to do is to take these words and saying, okay, God, do I actually please you in every way? Is there any area of my life that actually, it's not that sometimes God is displeased, but God wants to be pleased with everything that you do. And when I read scriptures like this, I just have to say, okay, God, Holy Spirit, show me if there's any area of my life that is in any way displeasing to you at this moment in time, or any way that I'm not actually pleasing you. And it may be because I'm not doing something that he's asking. So it's not that he's really displeased with me. It's just that actually he can't be pleased with me either. It's in the middle. You understand that sometimes there's a middle ground where actually we're just putting our feet up watching football or rugby or tennis. And, you know, actually God's purpose is that wasn't wrong. But actually he was wanting you to go out with a friend because that was going to be his best purpose. When at Bible college, one of the things that we always heard Pastor Colin talk to us, says sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best. And sometimes we can do things that are in this middle ground that are, it's okay, there's nothing wrong in doing those things. I watched football on Friday night. Scotland, if anybody's Scottish, forgive me for bragging, but we won 3-0. Rugby yesterday, we beat the South Africans, fantastic. The cricket, we're doing quite well in the cricket as well. So we're doing very well in the sports at this moment. Andy Murray's number one in the world of tennis. So there's nothing wrong in understanding these things, but there is a best purpose that God has, and he wants us to please him in every way. And therefore, every single one of us has to ask those questions. Lord, what do you want me to do that will please you? How do you want me to please you? Is there any other things that you want me to be involved in so that I can please you in a greater way than ever before? Why? Because I want to see God glorified in every single area of my life. Because we want to live lives worthy of the Lord. This is scripture. This is Paul talking to the church in Colossae. And I just want to take what God says through the Apostle Paul and saying, okay, God, together in my life, in our lives together, we want to be a people who live lives worthy of God. That means that we don't tolerate any sin. We actually stand up for truth. So that we actually sort of saying, actually, no, I don't agree with that. But we're not coming against the person who said it. And that's important because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the spiritual powers of darkness. And that's important for us to understand because what I've seen on Facebook is people are very, very anti a person or people. Because at the end of the day, there's two people. And what I've heard is people sort of saying, I voted for the lesser of the two evils. But that's how people perceived it. And that's what I've been seeing on Facebook. But there's been a tirade of negatives to a person. And I don't stand up for what has been said by that person. I can't condone what he said. But actually, at the end of the day, you've got to. There is a take sometimes where I've seen things online from Christians who have said certain things and reported certain things, and they're just not true. And so please, please be careful. And this is why I want you to please God in every way. So you're taking information about different situations and then you're feeding it through the filter of not self, but through the filter of the Holy Spirit. So that you get the understanding of a situation or circumstance, that you're not putting your own spin on it, because that's what the press and media do. They spin it so that they can put a headline or a something within a an article that will actually portray in a particular way that actually is not the truth. When Helena was in government, in local government, sometimes the press, the headlines were so much of a spin that actually it was completely different from actually anything relevant to the truth. So please, please be careful. But why am I saying this? Because I want you to please God in every way. I don't want you to displease him by beginning to get judgmental about the situation. But what God wants us to do is to stand up for truth, be light in darkness. But in every situation, we want to live lives that are worthy of him. But then you will produce, why? All of that. When you please God, when you do what he wants, then according to this, for then, you will be fruitful. Not before, but from pleasing God, doing, living a life that is worthy of him. It says, for then you will produce much fruit for his glory through all the good works you do as you continue to know him better. And one of the things for us, and Mikey was there and Ruth was at a conference, a leaders' event that we had in Horsham last week. And one of the things that the speaker spoke about, Erin Jane, was that on Sunday for him, Sunday service was about literally just to know him better. That was one of the things that all we want on the Sunday is just to know God better. Even if it's if somebody's not saved, for them to know God better a little bit more. But for people who've been saved for 20, 30 years, for each and every one of them to know Jesus better. I actually like that. And, you know, what Nathan brought last week was very much in the flow of that. We want to know Jesus. Actually, God wants to know us. He wants us to be in partnership with him. But at the end of the day, I want all of us, including myself, to have an understanding that actually we want to know Jesus better. We want to know his ways better. We want to know his purposes better. One, because we want to be able to pray more effectively. I was on TV last night, Revelation TV. And one of the things that we did was we talked about prayer. And, you know, one of the things that we brought up about prayer is that God wants us to, when we pray, to see a lot more answers to our prayers. Now, please, that, you know, I'm not God. And, you know, but one of the things I do understand, and this came through, was when we do what God asks us to do, when we are living lives that are worthy of him, and we're living in a way that pleases him, I believe that we would be in a place where we listen and hear him far, far clearer. When we hear him clearly, we understand what his purpose is in a particular situation or circumstance. And therefore, when we pray, we can pray with a certainty that this is coming from the heart of God. Yeah? Is that right? Or is that heresy? Wanting to make sure that you don't think I'm speaking heresy here. But you see, God wants answered prayer. God wants us not to always say, oh, he never answers my prayer. Oh, I prayed that many, many times, but it never get answered. Actually, God wants to honor his name. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, something should be happening because we're praying in his name. And therefore, when we're praying in his name, that means that we need to be listening to what he wants us to pray in his name. Why? Because he wants to, you know, I don't want to dishonor the name of Jesus by praying things that aren't going to happen. Certainly this is non-Christians, but even within the Christian family, I don't want to be praying unreal prayers. Do I believe in healing? Absolutely. Do I believe in deliverance? Absolutely. Do I believe, you know, that God wants people to be set free? Absolutely. I believe that's the word of God. I believe that's very clear in the scriptures that that is what God wants. But in a sense, I want to see everybody who we pray for here, I want them to have answers to those prayers very, very quickly. We have those blue cards. I want to see them transformed lives because we've prayed in line with the word of God in that situation. But you see, for me, it goes back to wanting to make sure that we are living lives that are worthy. You know, again, it came up with in the program last night. You know, in scripture, it says, submit yourself to God. Resist the enemy. And then he will flee from you. There's a sequence there. So many people come against the enemy without first submitting themselves to God. And you see, God has an order here. God's got to be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added. That includes victory. That includes living in a way that pleases God. Where God's first, then everything then gets into an order where God can then bless us. Am I a believer that God wants to bless us? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not talking about prosperity gospels or anything like that, but I do believe God wants to bless us. Does that mean that we're going to live a life that is going to be incredible and without difficulties or problems? No, because scripture also talks about that our faith is proved genuine by going through the obstacles, or, you know, persistence and the obstacles of life. And it will prove that our faith in God is genuine when we face some of those things, we stand firm in some of those things, and then we pray in line with the word of God against some of those things. We hear about Paul. He said he prayed many times for this, what they call thorn in the flesh. And it was not taken away from him. But then God says, your grace, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, it's all of these things are scripture. And God is wanting us to align our lives, our church up with scripture. So that we're living lives that are glorifying to him. We're living lives that are pleasing him in every way. That means that when we read a scripture like that, it's like, okay, Lord, is my life, is my speech positive or negative? Is it something when I speak to somebody, do they leave my company feeling uplifted or do they feel down? Because they've just had a negative dump on them. Now, please, you know, I think all of us at times get to a situation where we just... on somebody. But you know, again, we have an amazing God and Father who can forgive us those things. But God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to him. And so therefore, that's why he's put us in a body, so that we can help one another. So when people come and visit you or see you or meet with you, then I believe God wants you to have such an effect and influence on their life that they go away with a smile on their face or something of a, actually, that was a challenge, but it was a good challenge. It was a positive challenge. You know, if somebody was in, feeling negative, always speaking negatively, they spoke to you and then they went away having been freed from sort of that condemnation stuff that the enemy puts on us, where, you know, the enemy just tries to suck you dry. Oh, you've done it again. And, oh, you're no good, you can nurse and this and the other. That's what the enemy does. He is a liar. He's deceitful. And we've got to understand these things. So we've got to be opposite to what the enemy wants us to be and live for God and for his purposes. And I need to round this up because we've run out of time. But for you, then you will produce much fruit for his glory, not for ourselves, but for his glory, through all the good works you do as you continue to know him better. Now, we know that it's not good works that get us to glory. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're people who believe in Jesus Christ and justification of our sins through his blood. But we do need to note, take a note, that actually inactivity is not God's purpose. God wants us to be active in doing good works. Not just works, but good works. How do we know they're good works? Because it's what God leads us to do. See, God first. When we seek him first, he speaks to us. We begin to please him in every way. We act in the way that he wants us to. He then fills us with his Holy Spirit because there's no rubbish in the way. We're then fruitful, producing fruit in each and every area of our lives. Therefore, the good works that we begin to do are going to bear fruit, and it's going to be great. He strengthens you with all power of his glorious might, and in this power at work in you that gives you patience, enabling you to persist in doing his will. Again, we need to persist in doing his will. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes when it doesn't work the first time, we in our natural selves want to just sort of pack it in and, oh, it didn't work. How many of us have been there? Whereas, according to script, no, we've got to persist in doing good. We've got to persist in this. Whatever comes back at us doesn't matter. We've got to persist in doing good. I'm just doing this, reading the scripture. He will cause you to maintain your joy, thanking God the Father for all he has done for you. See, in all of our lives, God is never wanting us to lose sight of what he has done for us. How he has brought freedom. He's set us free. He's been merciful every day. His mercy is on you. How gracious he has given to us. Again and again and again, how amazing his love is for each and every one of us, his children. All of these things are what God wants us always to remember, so that no matter what happens in our lives, we have that view of knowing God. We understand his mercy. When we have blown it or do blow it, we have a God that is merciful. And as soon as we say, God, I'm so sorry, I blew it, he's there ready to forgive us. I think he's amazing. And God is wanting always for us to, according to scripture, keep that view in mind, so that when we have to persist, we understand how amazing God is. Could we please stand as time is running out? And I believe there is another group coming in at about 12:15. But it's important, like we've always said here, is that it's always important to begin to respond to the word of God. And so I just want us to, very briefly, if you know that in your life or in your situation, that there is an obvious thing that you know is not pleasing God at this moment in time, then very quickly, God, I just want to say sorry, and I want to put that right. And these may not be sins that we know about, but actually it may be that, you know, it's a little bit of lack of our prayer and reading the word. Because God actually wants time with you. It may be that it is a little bit negative in your thinking about situations or circumstances, and it's just like, okay, Lord, Father, help me to bring that wisdom and understanding so that there is an adjustment in my life in that area. But you see, this is where you need to pray. These are the things that you need to go away with, because God wants you to be fruitful in every area of your life. And he doesn't want anything to come in between him and you. So, Father, I just thank you that you will just bring to our minds, not because you want to condemn us, but because you're wanting to bring us into a relationship with you that is full of joy, full of peace. So, Father, I just thank you that for each one of us, Father, Lord, when we come into your order, Father, Lord, that you want us to be fruitful in every way. And if you don't understand your purpose at this moment, just very quickly, Father, I just ask you that you'll give me wisdom and understanding what that is, what that looks like. Not every one of you is going to be a public speaker. But every one of you has a purpose. Every one of you has a gift. Every one of you has been created by God for a purpose. And it's not praying to me, but it's praying to the Father. Father, I just ask you that you will give me understanding and wisdom what your will and purpose is for my life so that I can be fruitful in doing your will. That's got to be your prayer. That's got to be from your heart. Father, I want to fulfill your will and your purpose for my life. And it may be that you know all of those things. But for me, I know some of those things, but I want to be a lot more fruitful. I want to see a lot more fruit in my own life. I want to see a lot more fruit within us corporately. And just pray quickly to the Lord. Father, I just want my life to be fruitful. I want, when I do your will and your purpose, I want to be fruitful. I want that. I want to see fruit born from my relationship with you. I want to fulfill that purpose that you have for me. And Lord, I just thank you that in all things, Father, Lord, that I will persist in doing what you are asking of me. Father, Lord, that I won't be a person who gives up easily. But Father, that you will give me, Father, Lord, the grace, Father, to enable me to do what you're placing before me. So, Father, I just ask you for a persistence in doing your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. If any one of you, if in your body or in your situation that you want prayer, then please come forward at the end of the meeting and I will only be too glad, or any of these guys up in the front, we're only too glad to pray for you. But we do believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God wants to. And all we will be doing is listening to what the Father wants to say and praying in line with that. And it may be different from the way what you come forward in, but we want to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit asks us to pray. So anyone, Nathan, Mikey, any one of us up front. Okay, thank you.